Emmanuel, that was so good. Go again.
3, 2, 1.
Live. What is going on, guys? My name is Colby Christofik. I'm here with JR Jaque and our guest for today's podcast, Mr. Daniel Gomez.
Hola.
Before we get into talking with Daniel, which we've got a really fun episode for you today, but before we get in and asking him questions, we want to know what you did last week. JR, let's start with you. What did you do for movement last week?
I trained 6 days last week, kind of continued the same.
Wow.
New schedule record that I had the previous week with a little extra. I did heavy deadlifts, building up to my heavy one on Friday, and it kind of like not tweaked my back, but just made me extra tender. So I had to kind of take it easy on Sunday, doing a lot of mobility, just trying to get ready for this upcoming week of probably heavy lifts as far as like what I consider heavy.
Yeah.
Yeah, just like a lot of mobility, a lot of like Olympic lifting, and just keeping my conditioning by doing like my running gig as well.
Nice. What did you end up hitting? I saw that you did some deadlifts on
Friday. I did 315.
Nice.
Yeah, that's all right. 345 is my one rep, but nice. I'm okay with that. It's okay.
Nice. Yes. Daniel, what did you do to move last week?
As JR said, I trained 6 days.
Nice.
Yeah, it's good.
What did you train?
What?
What did you train?
What did I train?
Yeah.
I only did CrossFit, like the Razor program.
Okay.
And on Saturday, we have a big group of athletes training in the morning.
Nice.
The same workout we did at Cavalli. It's the same workout that you did at Oxar Movement.
Oh, nice. All right. It was a busy morning this last Saturday.
Team workout.
Did you do the team workout or did you coach it?
No, I was coaching.
You didn't want
to
do it.
I like both. I like to coach and I like to do the workout. But I think, no, I can't choose one. I like to do both. I like to watch. I like to see athletes doing
suffer
their workouts.
Yes. Yeah, everybody knows you like to. I didn't train very much last week. I trained, I think, Monday and Tuesday, did some CrossFit. Wednesday I swam, and it was the first day.
In the ocean?
No. Ocean's still cold right now. I don't want to swim in the ocean.
It's always
right
cold, Colby.
That's right.
And I actually wore a Speedo for swimming this week.
What?
And I felt fast. I felt real fast.
You didn't post that picture, though. I will say I don't recall. I would have reposted that one over and over again.
Yeah, I don't think I'd let anybody get pictures of me. I've learned my lesson of pictures and Speedos. And then on Thursday, actually, I flew to Arizona. I have a new baby little nephew. This is the cutest little kid, Levi. And so Thursday, Friday, I just went on walks with my sister. It was good to be able to like get her out of the house and doing some walking, which was not very much exercise.
When was the last time you saw your sister?
At Thanksgiving, so end of November. It's been a couple of months.
Yeah.
They had just moved into their house, and they're now 6 months into their new house, and it looks like a home now. And now they got baby room, and like everything is all set up and dialed, which is pretty cool.
Nice.
And then Saturday morning, I actually got to do a partner workout with my mom.
Yeah.
At Sam Ellison's gym, Hammer CrossFit, not her gym, but the gym that she coaches at, Hammer CrossFit in Tempe, Arizona. And that was a ton of fun because Sam is one of our nutrition coaches on staff with us that does virtual nutrition coaching. And I got to work out at her space or at the space that she coaches at. That was a brutal workout. It was, they do affiliate programming, like the CrossFit affiliate programming. Uh-huh. And it was 20 wall balls, 10 bar muscle ups, and 5 wall walk burpees.
Wall walk burpees? Wow.
Yeah, a wall walk burpee. So like you did a wall walk, you come back down. Instead of going back up, you do a burpee. Yeah. It's like, how do you make a wall walk worse? Well,
it's already kind of burpee-ish already.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So that was a lot of fun. So that was my last week of activity. But this week, we actually got a really fun week. And I kind of want to talk about what we're going to be doing this week. We have quarterfinals that... When this comes out, those workouts have been released. This comes out on Thursday. So those workouts were released yesterday at noon. So we know now what we are doing right now when we're recording this on Monday. We don't know what we're going to be doing yet. But it's quarterfinals week. So what are what do we think about quarterfinals? What do we got going on? You know, I know JR's got some stuff going on with horsepower. With his team. I know Daniel's got some stuff going on for quarterfinals with his gym. What do you guys maybe individually have on the queue for how are you going to prepare? What days are you going to train? What are you looking forward to? What are you not looking forward to? Maybe JR first.
I'm going to pray. That's the first thing I'm going to do. That's how I'm preparing. My back is still tender today, so I'm going to do some accessory work. Maybe if I think it's smart, I'll do some weighted lunges and stuff like that. At this point, don't really need to do too much. Tomorrow's supposed to be like my taper day where I'm not doing much at all. So I'll probably go to like Equinox and just really work on maintenance, really do like some good mobility. Sit in the steam room, just like hopefully unlock my back just a little bit more. It doesn't hurt. It's just like I can tell that if I tried. Yeah, it's a little tight. Like if I squatted, I feel like I would definitely pull something still. Like if I do something too aggressive, like I hung on the bar this morning during my classes that I was coaching, and I still kind of feel something. So you just know that if I were to do too much, I would be out for the entire week. So I'm just trying to be careful with it. And then I don't think I'm planning on doing any workout until Friday. I mean, obviously we have to wait and see exactly what they are. We are going to try to do two workouts we're going to do a kind of crossover event with horsepower and strength and conditioning on Saturday. So all their athletes from that space. And then we have 22 from horsepower. We're going to go over there and kind of like do it all together and make it a big event. And then I think we're going to have a barbecue afterwards. Besides that, it's just maintenance, making sure I've been doing really good. Like I've been very healthy this last couple of months, as I keep saying, I hope I have not jinxed myself.
So is your goal still?
Yeah, to have fun. My goal, Daniel, is to have fun and enjoy the process and not
Daniel, what are you looking forward to?
I mean, first it's always to enjoy the ride, the process. If you are not having fun, you are doing it wrong for me. But today I finished my training. I start 5 a.m., you know, Colby. Hard work, a lot of training today. Monday, Tuesday, I'm going to train like normal. Wednesday, maybe a zone two, I'm going to work out. And we will see the workouts, you say, on Thursday. So it will depend on which workout they will tell us to submit on Saturday. Yeah. So we are going to prioritize those workouts. So, but as JR, a good day to do it, it's going to be Friday. And the ones that you are gonna have to submit on Sunday, on Saturday.
So you can potentially redo them, or are you gonna redo any workouts?
I think you have to submit the first group by 5 o'clock on Saturday, and the second group is 5 on Monday.
Okay.
Saturday and Monday.
You will have enough time. But relief, I don't know.
I mean, when you redid the open workouts, you did way better.
I always said, just one.
It's going to be fun.
So neither of you guys are going to do anything on Wednesday. The workouts are released on Wednesday. Nobody's going to practice or do any of them on Wednesday?
No, there's no reason to practice them. We practice these all the time.
All right.
Maybe if one of the workouts have like a big skill that I don't think they will have, maybe you can practice those.
Okay.
But I don't think they will have pullovers, crossover, double unders.
Backflips. I don't think. JR would be really happy about that.
We could do burpee backflips. That's fine. We got that.
So I don't know what I'm going to do. I was thinking I was going to try to do like one on Wednesday, one or two on Thursday. We don't really have a schedule. Daniel came and worked for us at Oxnard Movement for a couple of years, and he co-owns a CrossFit gym in, well, it's not a CrossFit gym, but a functional fitness gym in Mexico, CF Cavalli. And he does a couple of other things as well. He's a man of many talents. and so we're super stoked to have him on here. We still have a relationship with him, even though he's back in Mexico full time now. We work with him quite a bit and keep in touch quite a bit as well. Daniel, I want to know a little bit of a background on like fitness for you. How did you get in? Like, how old were you when you got into CrossFit? How long have you been doing CrossFit? And maybe give us a little bit of background of the few things that you do, because not only do you co-own and coach at a CrossFit, but you've got a couple of other gigs that you do as well. So briefly tell us about some of those.
Okay. I am 33 years old. I have been doing CrossFit for 12 years, a little bit more. The first time I joined a group class, a CrossFit class, was with my brother. He asked me like, hey, come on, join. I was doing only gym, gym rat, they call today. And I was like, I don't like it. I think I will not like it. And after weeks, because it was like for a few weeks, he asked me and I said like, okay, what could happen? And I joined and the workout was running, burpees, and overhead walking lunges with the barbell.
Oh, whoa.
Nice. Obviously, I was able to do it. So I did back rack walking lunges, mm-hmm. but I really like the way, like, how was the class? Like, you go only 1 hour, you talk with the group cares about you. They like invite you. The coach like always start from the beginning. Like, okay, we're going to do this. You have to do this. No matter what, if there is a experienced athlete or me, a new athlete, the coach was good. And after that, I start to like join every day. Until now, I love to do group classes. It's been more than 12 years. Yes.
Nice. And when did you start coaching?
Coaching. After was like 3 years, like I was doing the group class. And then the same gym where I started, they asked me, hey, do you want to coach? You need the level one, you need like that, stuff like that. Yes, I mean, was kind of easy for me, that this stuff. And when I went to the L1, I like it more. So after the L1, I start to
dive in even more.
Yeah, spend more time looking to CrossFit stuff.
Nice. And then now you co-own a gym with a couple of other people. So we know that you're coaching, you're doing a bunch of other things with that, but you also, you do a couple of other things as well.
Yes. I mean, I have, right now, in April, this month, we'll have our anniversary.
Cavalli?
8 years of Cavalli.
Nice.
We are three business partners, Sarah, Ricardo, they are marriage, and me.
Nice.
It's been great. Yes. And besides that, I own a small business of flavored waters, horchata, Jamaica, tamarindo, that many restaurants, food trucks, they sell.
Nice.
So it's good. I have a couple. No, I have a lot of clients, but you know, can be bigger. But we're working on that.
Yes, I think something similar that both you and JR have is you guys are both extremely entrepreneurial, and you want to take more things on your plate. You see this vision, and you're like, oh, but you know, it's great, but it could be better. Oh, we could do more. Yeah. Oh, it could be.
It's always can be better.
Cool. Yes. Thanks for kind of introducing us a little bit. Something that we kind of chatted about recently was you have been doing a lot more personal training in Mexico. So like when you work at a gym, own a gym, like classes are definitely something. There's admin and like back end stuff that like the clients never see, right? That our members never see that you're doing, like the programming, the cleaning, the maintenance, the marketing, talking to like other business owners and kind of figuring things out, learning and growing. But then there's also the forward facing things. And one of those forward facing things is personal training. And we kind of discussed recently that there's been kind of a big shift for you in your gym in personal training. You've been doing a lot more personal training since you left the US and came back to Mexico. Talk a little bit about how personal training is traditionally kind of viewed in Mexico and kind of how you're breaking that that barrier, that boundary between what's the norm and what you've been doing.
Yes. In Oxnard Movement, I started to do like a lot of personal training, and I noticed by myself how the members, the athletes, like they improve on what they ask for. I mean, because we know that group classes are good, you know, people will get better no matter what. Yes.
Yeah.
But sometimes it depends like, okay, how much time you spend on how many days a week you come to the CrossFit gym? What do you do outside of the CrossFit gym? There are like different things that you will get better, but some people, some members in weeks, some members in months, some members sometimes years. Take years.
Yeah.
But personal training for me is the best. Like the way you improve in one class is like, because as a coach, when I coach a class, I always said sometimes the same things that I said to a personal when I am with a personal athlete, when I'm coaching personal training.
Yeah.
But it's different, like one-on-one, than talking to 15 people.
Yeah.
It's way different because you said like, okay, this is how we need to do it, and some people struggle with different things, and when you see the athlete in a personal training doing like where he or she struggle is when you can attack that movement to get better. So yes, yeah. Group classes, I love the group classes. We know that you're gonna get better, but personal training is like the best to improve in something in particular.
So you kind of gave me some insight into like what the mentality at personal training is in Mexico and kind of like how you've been pushing to break that. So tell me a little bit more. Like personal training was very low on value. Nobody really wanted to do personal training. So tell me more about
maybe
that.
Maybe because it's expensive. But once the member like know how they're going to improve, they will pay it because they like it. I mean, you only see, I only work personal training with athletes that they really like to get better at these, like double unders, pull-ups, handstand push-ups, bar muscle ups are the things that most of the people want to do it.
Skills. Yeah.
Skills is more than because technique on weightlifting, it's take longer. I mean, you can get better, but if you have a decent way to do it, the details to be specific will take a lot of time.
Yeah. But the skills can improve significantly faster.
If you can put your barbell here, but you can't stand up, you need to work your legs, your strength.
Right.
And that takes more time. Yes.
Yeah. Do you find that you work more with the everyday member or like a higher skilled, somebody who wants to compete? Like what is the majority of your clientele?
No, the everyday. Yes. They are like members that they only want to do double unders. In the class, you have, as a coach, you have your timeline of the class and you can't spend like more than 10 minutes practicing the double unders with one person because the other 14 are like, hey, we're here to work out. So that's when you can start like, okay, we need to practice more, but we need to do a session 1-1. And once they like do it, they want more.
It's the taste of success.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
Also, you have to know that if you're going to say it, you have to know that your work, I mean, works.
Yeah. You got to be confident that you have the skills to help them make those changes, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Because some athletes that they are doing single unders and okay, try a double under and you know how they like messed up. You can see that, okay, maybe the movement of the wrist is good, but maybe you are not jumping as higher as we want. So sometimes I say like, okay, in 3 classes, I can make you to do double unders.
Nice. Yeah, you're confident on the assessment and being able to say, hey, we can have outcomes with this many sessions.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, that's excellent. Cool. And something that I thought was kind of interesting as well, that we don't typically JRC a lot in the US, but is a lot more common in Mexico, was negotiation. That was something that you told me about.
Like for price?
Somebody were like, hey, this is what the price is for personal training if you want it. And culturally in Mexico, people said, yeah, well, how about you do it for this? Or how about this price? Daniel had kind of spoken about saying after coming back from the US, knowing his value and saying, no, if you want this, this is what the price is.
Yeah.
And being able to like hold firm on the value that he's adding for people, which is an interesting thing. Like we don't typically deal with something like that here in the US where we say, hey, this is what the price is. This is what the outcome is. And someone's like, yeah, well, how about like $20 less? And you're like, what? Like we don't really get that. So I thought that was super interesting. But I don't think what we do, there's not a lot of negotiation really at all with pricing for anything in the US where it's
definitely not in LA.
Probably a little bit more common in Mexico. So Daniel, something else that you do, not only the water business, not only co-own a gym, you also write competitive CrossFit programming for both athletes there in Mexico and athletes all over the US as well. I want to know what inspired you to write competitive programming. Where do you draw like inspirations for your competitive programming? And you know, what is one of your favorite things about writing competitive programming?
Okay. Sometimes when I have like the whiteboard, like to work on the next cycle, if I have like 2 hours, I can spend 2 hours like programming. Like, or I'm coaching, and I was like, oh, this will be good. This will be good. I don't know. It's something that I love it. Like putting things together. And ones that I think did can be like together, if we put together good, I like search things, learn things. Yeah. It's nowadays it's easier to learn. With you at Oxnard Movement, I learned a lot about masters athletes, the aging course. You remember?
Yeah.
That course helped me a lot to like open a new group class with masters.
Okay.
But cool. I don't know, like programming, it's something that I can do, like that I love it. I cannot say easy, but it's something that I don't know. I love to do it. Like inspires me. Like if I have a whiteboard, really, I can't like, this is going to be this week. This is going to be next week. This is going to be, and everything like have to be related. Yes.
Nice. And like, at what point did you say, hey, I want other people to do this too. Not just,
In in Cavalli, in my gym, I started to do the program with a couple of persons, and then someone from another gym asked to those persons like, hey, what are you doing? Looks cool, looks like it works, and just like that, like they start like talking to other people, it started work, like some competitions, we did good. And after that, it's been good. I went to Oxnard Movement, and hey, I have this. Do you like it? And a lot of people like it from the first day. So.
Yeah, we still continue to have, quite a few people on Raise the Program. And not only do we have members here, but there's also members from all over the U.S. as well. I think Texas and Florida and somewhere else in the East Coast as well, that are on this program as well. And what is the program called?
Raise the Program.
Raise the Program. And all of our listeners can get a free month of this program, just by DMing us or getting in touch with us. If you're not already on this program and doing this program, we will give you a month trial of this competitive programming. If you're in the US listening to this, it's $35 a month. I know you have a different price there in Mexico, Daniel.
Yeah, so it's similar.
Million pesos.
1 million pesos.
600
pesos. Wow.
Mm-hmm. It's $35. Similar.
Very similar. Cool.
Yeah.
Great. So we like doing it. Our class programming on Saturday morning, we do this program with one of our classes anyways. And then we've got quite a few athletes that are in our space that do this competitive program as well. And it's fun to see a leaderboard with people from all over the world, yeah. Basically the North America, enter scores on here.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right, Daniel. So you have obviously the experience of working with the athletes in Mexico. And then in your time here at Oxnard Movement, what is the biggest difference of members, athletes that you see from the United States to Mexico? Or is there a big difference?
Yes. I mean, it's not a big difference because both, they like people. It because they pay more than just going to the group classes. But sure. In US, I started to work out like super early, like 4 a.m., 5 a.m. And if I ask like to the members, to the athletes, let's train 5 a.m., everyone was like, I mean.
Oh, they like it in the US?
Yes, they like it. Yes, Chachi, Manny, everyone was like, if I say like, let's work out 6 a.m., yes, I'd rather go as 5, 6 a.m. because I don't want to spend a lot of time in the gym, or I want to spend the weekend with my family after 11 o'clock or something like that. Here I started to do that. Yeah. Like, okay, we need to work out at 6 a.m. because that time everyone can. If we try at 11, a lot of people on Saturday, they will say like, oh, no, I have to go with my family. Oh, no, I have to go. So the commitment at the beginning was like better over there. But when I came back, I started to do that. And it's been great.
I kind of want to shift gears a little bit as we close out here and chat a little bit about CrossFit affiliation. I think one of the things that sometimes gets overlooked a little bit when we're talking about CrossFit and programming and owning a gym and running things and being entrepreneurial and all that kind of stuff is we pay CrossFit an affiliate fee every single year in order to be a licensed affiliate. They have been getting better and better about the things that they offer as an affiliate participant, like myself as the gym owner. They include some like marketing material. They can include like a page on their website. What they've been doing a lot more in the last year is been doing a lot more marketing and driving advertising dollars on their end towards search terms like fitness and CrossFit and gyms near me, so that more people are aware of CrossFit. And you know, one of the things that's until recently hasn't really been addressed is the affiliate fee has been the same across all markets. So whether you're in the US, in Europe, in Russia, in Mexico, in the Philippines, wherever you are, it's been the same price everywhere. And I think post COVID, there was a new piece that came up from the morning chalk up, and they talked about how the affiliate fees, they got to look and figure out like, hey, there's some areas where the economics is different, and in order to be an affiliate, we need to adjust those economics. And so we kind of did a little bit of research in kind of what it looks like to like how many members for a month would it take to pay the affiliate fee in the US, and how many members would it take to pay the affiliate fee in Mexico. Yeah. And in the US, at the $4,500 mark, which is now what it is for a yearly basis for a CrossFit affiliation, is $4,500. And that takes, for our gym, on the average membership, takes about 23 members to pay for that affiliate fee. Now in Mexico, that's a completely different story. Daniel, we did a calculation. How many members would it take for 1 month for you to pay for that same $4,500 affiliate fee?
82.
82 members. So it's almost four times the amount of members to pay for that same affiliate fee. So what CrossFit actually did do recently was they made adjustments for a couple of different countries. And this is back in September 2021. Mm-hmm. They adjusted the annual affiliation fees for a couple of countries. Let's see, what were those countries? Affiliates from Mexico, Brazil, and Thailand. They changed those affiliation fees. So it's something that's CrossFit is having conversations with and figuring out like, hey, you know, the economics of owning a gym are completely different in different areas of the world. And sometimes that that difference makes the difference between being able to affiliate and not being able to affiliate as a business owner. Do you have any more input or, feedback for or about that topic, Daniel?
Yeah, we used to be an affiliate gym, but after or during the COVID, as everyone, we closed. And when we reopened, we were like, okay, we need to pay the rent or pay the affiliate. And after that, like, pay to us, it started to complicate. So we stopped and we said, like, okay, we'll see next month. We'll see next month. And we love the CrossFit. We will love to be affiliate, but it's hard. In 2021, you said the morning checkup.
Yep.
But recently, last month, I look at the CrossFit website, and it's like, what you said,
4,500 is the new $500.
Yeah. So that amount will be like,
yeah, kind very of big.
Hard to pay it. Yes.
Very big expense. And like part of that has to do with like average pays and cost of living in Mexico versus in other parts of the US.
That is very different.
And that also could be true as well from like, you know, it's a lot easier for a gym in Southern California to pay that $4,500 affiliate fee versus a gym in rural Illinois whose average working person's only making, you know, $45,000 a year. And their gym space, like $4,500 might be like two times their rent or something like that.
Yeah. And Daniel, can I ask, like, what's the average monthly fee for a CrossFit in Mexico versus the United States?
In dollars?
Yeah.
50, 55.
Really?
And it's kind of expensive, but I mean,
okay. Wow.
It's a good amount. I mean, if you are charging that, it's because you are a good gym.
What does a, when you said you were a gym rat, what does a gym like that charge? Like an access gym?
In dollars, like 20, 25.
Okay. Oh. Yeah.
So $20-$25 a month to your $50-$55.
$50-$55.
So were you completely just shocked when you found out how much Americans are paying for CrossFit?
Yeah.
A month?
Yeah, I talk a lot of times like these topics, these teams with Colby, because I was like, you only need 20, 21 persons, 22 people to pay the affiliate, and we need like 80, 81.
Yeah.
But yes, there was many conversations that he's like, how do people pay this much money? And it's like, if we don't charge this, like we don't have a business. we don't make ends meet. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think Colby's gym's on the low side.
For LA? Absolutely.
Yeah, my other gyms charge $245 a month.
$245.
Yeah. And if they get open gym access, it's another $25 on top of that.
$270,
yeah.
$270, yes.
Yeah, that's fairly normal for like the LA County area. Our area in Ventura County, I still think I'm one of the cheaper facilities around. Especially if you were to compare, there's only like a limited number of CrossFit affiliates, but if you're thinking about like the Orange Theories and the F45s, they're more expensive than our membership. And they're, in my opinion, the value that they're providing is significantly lower.
Equinox is $217 up to like $255 a month.
And that's an access gym, right?
Yeah.
Like, do you have to pay more to take classes, or is that included classes?
No, that's included. I mean, and it's not, you know, 24 hours, which not every CrossFit has that as well. But, you know, you're getting like those other amenities, like really nice bathrooms, like towel service and stuff like that, like steam rooms and whatever. But yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Large difference. And I also think that that's partially due to maybe the the value on what somebody's like willing to pay on health and fitness as well in the US versus in Mexico. You know, I think that there is potentially a much larger, like, I don't know, maybe you could tell me I'm wrong here. There's a much larger need in the US for health and wellness intervention for people, where in Mexico, there might be more people who are like, you know, I'm going to stay healthy. Like, I don't need a gym to like help me stay healthy. I'm just going to stay healthy. Or I have to, like, my job is a lot of manual labor and I'm working hard all day long. And so, and I think that might be a difference culturally as well.
Daniel, obviously you have worked with, tell us something that you have really enjoyed about working with Colby, and then give us insight on something that you did not like about working with Colby.
With which one you want me to start?
The one you don't like.
Colby is like super methodologic. Like, this has to do this way, this way, this way, this way, this way. And a lot of times he's just like, come on, Colby, you can just jump that part. No. This. Yes. Colby, come on.
Process.
But
okay.
The good thing is that I learn a lot. I mean, to get L3, it's not easy to study what he studied in college.
Yeah,
it's not easy.
No.
So, yes, I mean, I know what I know, but when I was with Colby talking about like business, like personal coaching, like coaching group classes, I learned a lot. Like, was really good.
Yeah.
And hopefully some of your members get to benefit from that as well.
They will.
JR, I want to know from you. Give me the dirty. What's something that...
Come on, JR.
I mean, I think that exactly what you said, like when it comes to Colby, I think he could be a little more flexible with things. I also really understand where he's coming from, because I used to be, and still some aspects I have the same personality. I think that like things that I know will work, like take my advice because what I'm telling you works because I've experienced it. But also I used to own a gymnastics center for 10 years. And the best thing that I eventually was able to do is kind of detach myself from the idea that my way was the only way to do it. And when I started allowing people to do things, even though it would almost be cringeworthy for me to kind of watch them do it, they would eventually show me that their way was, if not as good, maybe better. And I was actually able to learn from my employees by allowing them to do things differently. And as long as they were getting the job done and they were successful, then at the end of the day, I can't complain about it. But I do know, I mean, it's really difficult to, you know, when it's your business and you put everything into it, that you can let somebody kind of do that. So that would be my critique.
What's something now that I want to respond to that, but before, I want to know something that you've enjoyed working with me. Nothing.
Yeah, I know I have. No, I think that like you do a really good job of, we always know exactly what you expect from us. You know, there's no guesses about, Colby expects me to do this. This is what I'm supposed to do, and it just needs to get done. I'm either doing it or I'm not doing it. There's no like gray area, where in the past I've had employers who just were very vague or they didn't communicate. You communicate a lot, so I appreciate that.
Cool. Daniel didn't like it when I communicated. He goes, let's talk less. No English.
Yes, just work out.
Yeah, I agree with that, and I feel like I recognize that in myself. And the way that I would say that I kind of do that is I would call it like micromanaging sometimes.
Excuse me, what? What's that called?
Where I'm like, hey, this is the way it's got to be done. This is the way it's got to be done. This is the way it's got to be done. But I think you're absolutely right. And I understand that. Like, that's the hard part, is like, I understand exactly what you said, because I was the same way, right? Like, I was an employee where I was taking over something from somebody else, and they said the same things to me, like, you have to do it this way. And I'm like, well, I feel like I'm doing a good job doing it this way. And the the things are like the objectives are still being completed. Like
right.
I'm feeling better about this flow. And so understanding that I have to understand that it's not my way, but it's the way that works. And that's kind of like cues too. It's not like there's like the right way to do it. Just if there's a way that works, like let's use that way. And if there's,
right.
if there's that way, like let's document it and keep it as a process. I think that's what I'm trying to shift my focus more towards is like, hey, we have processes and they're written and recorded, but if there's a better one or a different one, let's use it and not get stuck on like, hey, if this isn't working, don't keep, you know, beating the dead horse.
Yes.
So that's something I'm working on. I get it.
It's fine.
Is Sweet. It? Is it fine? You're in Mexico. I'm here.
If you're a high-level athlete or you want to work on some great skills with Daniel, you want to have some one-on-one time with him, be on the lookout in the next couple of months as we get details solidified up to get him out here and doing some fun stuff with us. Thank you for watching. I appreciate it. Subscribe. Leave us a comment. If you want to get access to Raise the Program for the next month for free, leave us a comment here. Shoot us a DM or an email. Get in touch with us, and we'll get you all set up on that program for this entire month.
Yes.
Daniel, why don't you like take us out with some Spanish, a Spanish outro.
Fluido. Bueno. Es bueno.
Bueno.
Muchas gracias okay. por escucharnos. Estén pendientes del próximo episodio del podcast de JR y Colby. Estaba bastante interesante.
Nos vemos.
Adiós.
Nos vemos. Chao. Che, boludo. Que pedo.
Here we go.
Emmanuel, that was so good. Go again.
3, 2, 1. Ah.